the meeting is declared opened. I must thank you for being flexible and I know that members are tired. We had a long day, but to see all of you here, I'm saying all of you because it's the usual faces that are always here. I'm appreciating that, and what we are here for today is the assessment of the public hearings that we had in the provinces, the four provinces that we visited. I think I want to acknowledge the presence of the Leader of the Opposition, Mr. Trollip. You are welcome to the meeting.
Thank you, ma'am.
Today, comrades, what we need to hear from the comrades is, forget about the last part.
Don't worry, we can't.
What you need to do is an honest observation of what happened in all the four provinces. And I know we might have some issues that we did not agree amongst ourselves about during that process. But I don't want us to use this meeting and go to each other's throat. If there are issues that you want to raise that were you felt some of you that were not right or were not in order, please do raise them. But what we need is the way forward from here as the committee. It is up to the committee. It might be your way forward is not limited. Way forward doesn't say we have come to an end, or doesn't say that we should decide today. But what is that has happened, and what is that you think we should do? People have spoken from different walks, different organizations, unions, civil organizations, business. So for those with those few words, I will leave the matter on your hands.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the chair, something different from the person. I think firstly, for us to go to provinces in particular, it's because of the experience and submissions made on the 25th and 26th of August. I think we met as a committee after that, and based on number of issues raised in the 2 days that I just mentioned, we then felt that as a committee we need to go to provinces, of which we did. I won't go into details to a number of people who attended, number of people who have spoken. But it does indicate that my observation was that different sectors, industrial sectors for that matter, because that's where employment relationships exist. They exist in different sectors. From submissions made, covered all the sectors, your retail, your mining, farming, manufacturing. I won't divide manufacturing because manufacturing that includes a number of sectors within it itself, you know, chemical, engineering, metal engineering, and so on. And they mostly in these hearings, people spoke. In fact, that's what public hearings are for. Are for people to speak. People spoke their mind in all these hearings. And I think it's important for me to mention this, Madam Chair, that whilst we were doing that, in fact, having these public hearings, we were mindful of the fact that there are discussions that are taking place at the level of NEDLAC. And it's something that we knew as a committee that there is also that process. My observation, as I indicated earlier, that it's not necessarily a question of how many people said this, how many people said that, but something has to be done. How is it supposed to be done? I think it's important for us to measure the national public hearing that took place in August 25 and 26, and these four provinces, where all the parties affected with this process, business organizations, labor brokers, workers, unemployed people who were part in this and made their contributions. And I think it's important for us in moving forward also to say, if it is possible to extend these public hearings, if members agree with me, in extending these public hearings, we then have to request you as the chairperson, knowing that we have limited funds for this actual work. For this financial year, for you to exercise skills that you might have in discussing with whoever who have authority in relation to us doing our oversight, if colleagues agree with me, I think we need to give you that opportunity to go and check whether there can be funds that can be made available in order for us to continue and arrive even in areas where we could not. I think for now, let me stop there, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we need to agree on a process as to what are we doing. We are evaluating the four public hearings we had. And I should think agreeing all of us on what happened. And thereafter, look at the second leg as to after analyzing and agreeing on what we have witnesses on this public hearings, then we say what will be the next step for us to take so that at least we've got a view. If there's a need for us to go out, that will be depends on what type of report that we give as to what we analyze, all of us, if I may appeal to that process. Thank you. Okay. I don't think Honorable Nyakemba is I think I should respond to this because from what she's saying, I need to give a direction. I'll come. I don't think he is out of order because if I assume that the parties that are here have met and made evaluations. He first analyzed, that's the way we analyze, but other members of the committee or members of his party can add because it's something that was discussed in the party. In fact, he's saying his, it's not his, it's the party position that he's putting forward after having discussed and analyzed. So I don't think we can add and come with witnesses, can continue with the process. I don't want us to say we start with this one. I think it's fine, Ma Alina, we must do them at one time. Honorable Law.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I think it is important to note that the rationale behind the public hearings was actually to hear it from the people on the ground. I think that was the whole idea, which we did. And equally important was we need to hear it from the people personally so that we can actually formulate an opinion around that. Be as it may, we've been there and we're back. However, one of the things that the DA really, we went into these robust discussions with open-mindedness. There were no preconceived ideas with regard to the outcome of these hearings. One of the things that actually transpired, which we have all noticed, was actually the fact that we cannot run away from the fact that the actual people, the affected people, people on the ground, we've seen less of those people. We have seen more trade unions participating in this, which we don't have a problem with. However, we would have liked to have seen participants in all the four provinces that we have visited. We have seen more COSATU people there than anything else. I thought that we would have seen people coming, attesting to the fact that, you know, this is what has happened to me working for X company or X broker. Those are the type of interventions that we would have liked to see. Instead, we have seen COSATU, trade unions affiliated to them, coming with people, busing people in from all over, making their presentations, and eventually giving us their view, which eventually I thought, you know, I think we are missing the boat here. Because eventually it would have been ideal if those people who have been ill-treated or exploited, as been mentioned by these particular labor brokers, we wanted those people to come forward and tell us, you know, I am so-and-so, I have been working for company so-and-so or ex-broker so-and-so, these are the facts. We have seen very little of that. And to me, I think at this stage, I would have loved to see a situation where more and more of those people come to the fore. Because what is important here is we have seen a little of it, but not enough. I would have liked us to change the boards by reversing the situation to see more of those people than seeing union members who come up with, you know, a lot of material, reading from a lot of material, telling us about what other people have experienced, not telling us what they have experienced. So regarding that, I think I've got a serious problem. I would like to to shelve my comment on that one and afford some other discussions to open up. Thank you.
That's a question, Honorable Law, to what you're saying. Are you making a distinction between workers who are members of the trade union and the trade union leadership in your observation? Because I want to, and I'm not going to comment now, I'll give everybody an opportunity, but as we go forward, I want to understand. When you say you saw most people from the trade unions, are you making a distinction between a worker who's in a trade union, or you are saying this is what you have seen, trade union reps talking for workers?
Okay, I think
just a clarity for me. I won't ask further questions because I need to understand.
What I'm saying, Chairperson, we have seen trade union members. We have seen COSATU members wearing COSATU T-shirts, and when you've listened to the discussions, which we all did, we didn't hear people telling us, you know, I am a person who has been employed by a labor broker. That is not what we heard. We heard people speaking on behalf of those people, which obviously is their duty as a trade union. But what I'm saying is, unless, if I'm missing it here, when we leave here, we wanted to hear it from the people on the ground.
Yes, I'm sure. My colleague and I have come with a fairly open mind because we didn't actually have a long discussion beforehand because we really weren't quite sure what the agenda of today's meeting was. So we really have come, when I mean that, I don't mean that we didn't know what the point of the meeting was. We just didn't know whether we are going to discuss the future in detail or where the situation is. So I want to ask a question about that, if you don't mind. We obviously are going to head towards draft legislation, either amendments to existing laws or a new law that's going to be promulgated by the department. At that point, we are going to have public hearings anyway. Either the National Council of the Provinces will have to have hearings or we will have to have further hearings, because when we have the draft legislation, there is a public participation that is attached to that draft legislation. So that's going to happen anyway. And I wanted to know whether you had any information for the committee on where we are in that process. Because as Mr. Nyakemba reminded us, there is a NEDLAC process. So on the one hand, NEDLAC is busy working in that corner, and there's a bit of a stalemate, as I understand from the presentation we had last week, or this week. Was it this week when NEDLAC presented anyway? This week. The people from NEDLAC said to us that that particular issue seems to have reached a stalemate position where Labor is certain what they want, business is certain what they want, but it's stuck. In other words, it's not making any progress, the discussion at NEDLAC. That's what he said when he came to the committee. So NEDLAC seems to be stuck on the issue. The Department of Labor is obviously working on draft legislation because that's their job. So our hearings, if I understand them correctly, are to inform us so that we understand the issue clearly, and that when we then get the draft legislation, we are very well versed in what people are feeling out there, what the public mood is, and what people want. If we go back into another series of hearings before we have the draft legislation, what we are doing is merely informing ourselves again for our own information's sake, because we haven't got a draft law to discuss or debate. That's the one issue. The second issue is, I agree with my colleague, that if we're going to do further hearings, we really want to hear from individuals. I mean, at the 25th, was it, and the 26th of August, we heard from organized business, we heard from organized labor very clearly, many times, many written presentations, presentations with slide presentations. We've heard again from, was it the General Secretary of NUMSA, the General Secretary of COSATU at the Jermison hearing. We've heard formal presentations now from the hearing, from the unions, and we've heard formal presentations from labor brokers, companies, and we've heard from organized business. So to hear more of that, I think is just a waste of the taxpayers' money. To hear more from organized business, to hear more from organized labor, we've We've rarely heard it. I don't think we're going to hear anything new if we go and do another 20 of those kinds of meetings. So for me, just as an individual, to hear more, it would only be valuable to me as a committee member if I hear from individuals, not organizations. Because to hear from more organizations, we've heard it. I really don't think there's anything we missed. If you read that whole file that we got given in the public hearings in Parliament, it's full. If we listen to all the things we heard in the presentation, it's a lot. They're not new ideas we're going to get from either organized labor or organized business. Between us, we've heard what they've had to say. So if we want to do more hearings and not waste money and waste time and all that, they need to be hearings where we hear from individuals. Otherwise, I think we've heard enough, because we've heard what all the organizations have to say, really. I mean, if any organization says to this committee, you didn't listen to us, well, I think they're talking nonsense, because they had their chance. They've had their chance 5 times now to actually tell us. So I don't see the point of hearing from more organizations again. We really did hear. If we want to do more hearings before we get draft legislation, then I think we should, as my colleague said, hear from individuals. But if we're just going to hear from organized business and organized labor again, then I think we must rather stop the public hearings and get the draft legislation, because then we've got a concrete proposal from the department which we can debate, and then we can hear maybe again from those organizations once we've got further information from the department. But if we go back to hearings now, just to hear those big organizations, whether they be labor or business, again, I think we're just going to waste taxpayers' money, because they're going to tell us the same things they told us in Cape Town, they told us in, you know, all these other places. That would be a fruitless exercise. So that's my view on the hearings. If you want to do more, we must be hearing from individuals, not from organizations. We've really exhausted that, I think. That's just my view.
As the portfolio committee, our role we are portfolio committees of Parliament. And before we amend any law, or before we make any law, we must consult the public. And what we have been doing, it is in order. As you are saying, the department is, we are amending a Labor Relations Act that is existing. And the reason for that, you know, I don't want to go into details when I talk to you about the reasons why we have decided to embark on public hearing. And now, you can't, then the department is not going to wait, because at the end they will come to Parliament. But we are the ones, we are not relying on the department, we are relying on ourselves. It is us who is going around doing public hearings. It's us who are legislators. So whatever the department is going to present in front of us, which is their responsibility, at the end, the people who will be shaping what the department has brought in front of us is us. And if we are not informed, we don't know what the people want, or we don't know what we want to see there, we will then sit and wait for the department. We will think that what we are doing is useless. I don't agree with you to say that this is waste of time. It's not waste of time. NEDLAC, department, whoever will be coming with the views, at the end, it is yourselves who are going to decide on how that legislation should be. So I don't want to agree with you when you're saying it's a waste of time. I don't want to comment on this issue of the organizations and individuals. I will comment at the end. But all the issue that I wanted to talk to is the issue of the role of the committee. We have the responsibility of talking to people, and that's exactly what we are doing. And what is happening in NEDLAC is a reflection of what is happening in public. In any case, listening to what you are saying the business is stuck to its position. The labor is stuck to its position. And when you're going outside in these public hearings, you listen to workers. I heard workers speaking. I heard business speaking. I heard trade union representatives speaking. So there is nothing really, there's no contradictions in what we're seeing and what we see as we're going through the public hearing. I think that's what I want to say about it. But they are not useless. We have the final responsibility to shape the law and come up with the right law. Want to clarify? Just clarify what you meant.
I don't mean to say that what we've done until now is useless. All that I was saying is, if we repeat the same thing again, eventually we're just going to hear the same information again. Like you said, NEDLAC is the same as what we're seeing in the public. So I'm just saying that if we keep doing it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, we're going to hear the same information. I'm not saying that the process of public hearings is a waste of time. We must obviously do public hearings, and we have been already doing the public hearings. I'm just saying if we keep doing the same thing and hearing from the same organizations, we are repeating the exercise. That's what I said was a waste of time, not the hearing. We must obviously do hearings.
Okay. All right, Malik. Thank you, Chair. I think one listening is quite confusing. We went out, why? To check what people are saying about labor brokerage. I think that's the reason why we go out, full stop. We went out for public hearing, five. We heard that people said ban labor brokers. I think is that what we said we have heard. Before we can say we can't go back because we are going to hear repetition and tautology and all this, we have heard this. If we have heard that people are saying ban labor brokers, are we saying what we have heard on banning labor brokers, it's enough, we will propose a legislation which say ban labor brokers? I think that's what we need to confine ourselves in, because NEDLAC is a very out process. It will inform exactly by what we do here, like the chairperson said. So I think that's where we need to confine ourselves. Why did we go to the public hearing? What did we find? If we find that a lot of people say ban labor brokers, what are we saying as a portfolio committee? Are we saying now we're supposed to ban the labor brokers, I should think as a portfolio committee, from all those public hearings, instead of us saying we cannot go and listen to what? We are not specifying that I, as a member who went and here, I'm saying I've had enough people have said we must ban labor brokers. But if we agree that we go to other provinces and verify whether what you heard will hear from other provinces, fine, let's go. But you cannot discriminate on who said what. I should think we need that stipulation somewhere. We need to define what we are saying, because I don't think any unorganized worker who is a who is working for a labor broker will have a freedom of association of saying what she wants to say. It is a pity that we visited with the other committee member some workplace at night like that where labor brokers were still working, and we heard what they said. But I should think to cut everything short is that we need to agree. We were out on public hearing. We heard people say that they don't want labor brokers. Is that all our understanding? They must be banned. They don't want to be legislated. Is all what we are agreeing upon? If we are not agreeing upon, then let's go out and hear more. If we are not agreeing that the decision of the public hearing is ban labor brokers, then let's go out and hear what people are saying. Because the danger of how we discuss this, we are not saying as members, what did we hear on the ground? Whether we hear it from labor movement, whether we hear from business, individuals, that is the issue. We had never prescribed before we go to a public hearing that we We don't want people who are union organized to come and talk to us. And if you make reference to NEDLAC processes, then we contradict what you are saying, because the NEDLAC processes will only base to social partners. Then what you are saying, that you want ordinary people, defeat the purpose. Because you can't use NEDLAC and say you want ordinary people, because at NEDLAC, there's no ordinary people. You'll get two constituencies negotiating, two social partners, labor and business. So what I'm saying is that we need to also to clarify that. So I don't understand when committees are saying, I think I'll repeat what the chairperson was saying. Who is the worker? Who is a union member? How you see them as ordinary people? Am I an ordinary person when I work and I'm deprived a right by labor broker to join the union? Or I'm an ordinary person when I'm a member of the union, I've got the right to say I'm oppressed and exploited by labor broker, but I'm a union member. I don't understand that. But I don't think that is what we need to debate, and I'm appealing to the committee members. That we, our debate here is that we went out to check what people want, whether they want to legislate labor brokers or they want us to ban the labor broker. And my own observation as a member is that everybody say, let's ban labor brokers. And I think that's our argument here. Then we'll go further to discuss other issues if we are not agreeing and we are unhappy with our deliberations. Thank you.
Thanks, Professor. I think one is observing something that I could not expect from this meeting, that we need to get into more details, which to me it will raise a lot of and huge debate, because we were observing the same thing that other members has already spoken about in saying what people has been saying. But looking at the discussion now, it means we are pretending as if we did not have a purpose of when they were, we did not hear what people were saying. But in support of what Comrade Eric was has said earlier on to say, let us go back to people. I think I need to support that. Let us go back to other provinces that we did not cover. Because at the end of the day, there is this argument to say who were supposed to be there, who were not supposed to. And we don't know, I for a person, don't know where are the individuals that will tell us they are being employed by labor brokers, where are they to get them? And, I mean, not involved in that meeting, public meeting that we had. Because lucky enough, one of the members of the committee have already said that they were legally that they have seen. But, I mean, that they have seen that the labor brokers should exist, should be regulated. But, I mean, if they are already legal in all the provinces, then how are we going to change the system to say, no, we had majority of the people saying this? So I'm saying, rather than talking into details about this, because we are not going to, we are not going to finalize it now, as even if we can want to. Because there are some problems that are not covered, that persuade us to go further and have more hearings. So I'm supporting that we are on our knees, Chairperson, to say, please let us pave the way forward to go to more provinces and hear what we have to say. Thanks.
Chairperson, I think I would like to contextualize our view as follows. When we were in Germiston, I think that is where the crux of the matter started. When labor brokers presented themselves, and when people actually stood up who are employed by these labor brokers, the whole thing turned into a fiasco. My view is, as much as we have heard and seen, labor brokers were not afforded an opportunity to actually give their views. Jemison was a typical example. We have seen what happened to that gentleman. That is why we walked out. And we are not apologetic about that. But at the same time, just to repeat what we said earlier on, we don't say that we don't want to cooperate with say some of the provinces that we haven't visited. What we do say is, let us formulate a structure and say, this is the point of reference that we're going to use when we visit other provinces, so that we can actually make sure that what has transpired in Germiston does not happen again. At least let us formulate a structure and say, this is a structure, let us agree to disagree on a structure or a format, and say, this is the format that we're going to adopt, the model that we're going to use, approaching, because we've learned from our past experience, in order to make sure that we, what has transpired there does not repeat itself again. I think that should be understood. We're not saying here that we don't want to afford other provinces an opportunity. What we wouldn't like to see, though, is what has happened there must repeat itself. Then this thing becomes a complete waste of time. And I think that is where you might be misunderstood when my colleague says we don't want to use taxpayers' money unnecessarily. We are prepared to go out. I need to put it on record. We are prepared to go out. But let us formulate a structure and say, this is the way how we're going to approach this thing, so that what has transpired there does not repeat itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. What I'm hearing here, Chairperson, is that we need to have these public hearings moving forward. I think what Honorable Law says is that we need to say how do we do it. So I think the part of us moving forward, the area of saying that what we can do on our behalf is to approach people with authority, as we have exhausted because of the limited funds. I think we all know that. For you to approach those, to knock at their doors, for us to take the process forward. I think that's one area. I think the second part is that what I'm hearing is that we need to say how people must make presentations in this public hearing. And my feeling is that should we do that, that means we'll be limiting the same people that want to hear from them as to what they must say, how they must say it. Hold on.
You know, Honorable Audit, in most cases, I end up being at that citizen because you have a tendency of howling. If you don't disagree, lift up your hand. Yes. And you must withdraw this howling that you do. I have not yet given you a chance, but when I give you a chance, please don't spoil my meeting. Say something or not have just said?
Madam Chair, it's become customary in this parliament to allow people to voice an expression of exasperation. It's not against the rules of parliament to do that. I did not say anything, I just made a noise.
Let me tell you, here in this committee, it's not allowed, and you are the only person who does that. Not a single person will ever howl you when you are talking. You are the only person who howls in this committee, and I'm asking you to stop it, whether it's in the rules or not in the rules. In this committee, howling and intolerance when other people are speaking will not be tolerated.
Thank you very much. As I was saying, the second point is that what I'm hearing, and then people will correct if my hearing is incorrect, when opportunity arises to do so. That in going to a public hearing, you go there to hear views, to hear what people say on an issue. And I think we have been clear from the onset. If you look at the advert in preparation for the 25th and 26th public hearings in August, the advert has been very clear as to what is the issue that the Portfolio Committee on Labor called public hearings for. That has been done, and I assume that we are still moving from that premise. We have not changed. We have not changed. So the point I'm raising, Chair, is that in moving forward, as in principle we agree, is that we move in the same terms of reference that we put in place. So, unless otherwise there is a proposal which is a little bit contrary to that, it can be made. That's why meetings are for. If in terms of that advert, there was something that was not reflecting which was supposed to, really, that's something that I think we need to hear. That's why meetings are for. So, that's what I wanted to say that. And I think, sir, Honorable Khumalo on my right, avoided us going into details, and I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Ours for now was to say, given what has been presented within these public hearings, is that enough? Is there anything else that we need to do in relation to that? Because if us were there, it's nobody else, it's the public. I mean, it's the Portfolio Committee on Labor. But obviously, I think, Madam Chair, I must say this. When you call people to a public hearing, it will be difficult to say, when you come, don't wear a T-shirt of your trade union. When you speak, don't tell us which organization do you come from. And since these public hearings, since the 25th and the 26th, everything that relates to an organization, that's what we're hearing. And we never said people are not supposed to do that. The question that will arise now will be to say, why then do we want to treat the public hearings in the provinces different from the national public hearings that we had before? And I think even in the national public hearings that we are talking about on the 25th and 26th, there were ordinary workers who were there. Yes, there were representatives from different organizations, but there were ordinary workers were there saying, I am employed under the labor broker. These are the conditions that I'm working under. And even in the provinces that we're coming from, there were workers and there were labor brokers themselves. And for that matter, in Genesis, labor brokers spoke up until the end of the meeting. When we closed the meeting, the last people who spoke there were labor brokers. So, there has been no. Fortunately, I was part of all these four provinces. There is no province where people couldn't speak. Yes, people were howling. There's no doubt about that. People were doing that. But matters were under control. We controlled that. And the gentleman that they are saying, he was disallowed to speak. I think they are referring to somebody who was representing the unemployed people's party. Yes, we were there. And that person, if we have to listen to tape, that person spoke in Timiston. So the point I'm raising is that we do agree what is it that we need to do next, which is of course is that you knock at the doors where there's authority to find whether can't we get additional money, and of course we'll hear from you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Nyakemba and Kumalo, they are not out of order when they are raising a concern. Because I think what we needed to hear from you is that after that howling took place, you were able to control the meeting, and the meeting was in order, and even the person who was howled continued speaking. For me, it would have been a problem if the situation was uncontrollable. You know, I got a full report. Yes, I was not there, but I got a full report because whatever is taking place in these public hearings is in the national news. And I got report even during the meeting. I do know that the chairperson who was chairing that day, the person who was chairing, called those people into order. It is not going to be easy, members of the committee, for us. We are in this process of these public hearings when we are dealing with people. It's like, I know I will make this example, even if it's going to be distorted by press, it's fine, they can. Or some of you, my colleagues here. When you go to court, you know, if somebody is killed, your relative is killed, you go to court. And when you get to court, you get into contact with the perpetrator. It is not easy for the jury or to calm those people down. But at the end, the court will have to continue. You know, we were with you when we listened to stories of the labor brokers, whereby a person was killed in the process, and the person had no body to bury because the labor brokers did not want to take responsibility. And what do you think of that family when they realize later that this person is here? It's not when you meet with people, the issues that you are dealing with, the atrocities that have been committed by labor brokers, are emotional issues. When you meet with those people, it's not going to be easy. But throughout the meetings that we held with you, in Northwest, for instance, I spoke about 30 minutes telling the public what is accepted and what is not accepted. But it's difficult to control the emotions of the people. But if we're able at the end of the day to say those who can't listen must go out, or it's fine. But we can't expect that when we're dealing with this issue, we're going to find people who will be, because they will be all the time quiet, because people have different experiences. So it is an emotional and painful issue. That's why it's called with all sorts of names. It's because people can't relate to it, can't bear even listening to the word labor broker. And as members of parliament, we can't use that one single instance and say that we can't go. And also, we can't restrict people. We can't say we are members of parliament, we are going out to listen to people, but then tell people that you can't say this, or you can talk for 2 minutes, you sit down. All you can say is that you don't repeat yourself. Don't repeat yourself. You say one thing and we and then you pass to another point. But to tell them that you can't talk, you can't say that, it's going to be difficult. Then it's not, the public hearings will be a waste of time. People have the freedom of speech, and people must express themselves as they wish. And that's what we want to hear from people. So, also the issue of workers. You see the issue of workers. I think the members of DA need to tell us who are workers. If you want to say to us, workers who are unionized are not workers, workers who are workers are workers who do not belong to a union, then you must say that to us. Also, we can't debate, we can't tell, I agree with the members. Really, for me, the issues that you are raising as an obstacle for us to go forward, I'm not really acceptable because we are human beings. You understand what is going on there. So your concern is genuine, and I think we should of howling. Yes, you must deal with it. You also howl here in Parliament, but you deal with it. As you said, you howl at times, you walk out and come back. But we must deal with it. It's going to be part of the game. I think you wanted to say something, Honorable Law? Please.
Chairperson, I think I don't want to sound like a person that's repeating himself over and over. But I need to put this also to you that, or to the House, that this should not be seen as if we don't want to follow due process. We want the process to take its toll. That's number one. Number two, I think I said right from the beginning, we support the notion of if we have to, if a ruling has been made or a decision is being taken, that we must visit the provinces that we did not visit. We support that. We say it's fine. But my plea this afternoon to the House is, I just want us to formulate an idea. And to the honorable members, we are not trying to dictate as to who should come and who should not come. That is not our call. We can't do that. That's completely wrong. That's not our call. What we do ask, though, is we urge that we need to formulate, this committee needs to formulate a strategy as to how we are going to approach this thing so that some of the things that have transpired, some of the negative things that have happened, should not repeat themselves. That is what we say. And if a decision is taken that we must go, we support the idea. We are not scared to hear what those people have to tell us. We want to listen to the people, indeed. Thank you.
I think we agree. We are not disagreeing with each other. But I'll give it to you, Honorable Aline.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, what I'm not hearing from Honorable Low or other committee members from my right is that I'm not hearing that we have heard that in the three provinces where we went, people have said then labor brokers or they have said legislators. I had never heard that. Because I think our terms of reference are very clear. We want to know what people want. Do they want to legislate labor brokers or do they ban labor brokers? I don't hear that from Honorable Low or Honorable Olive that we went out, we agree, all of us here. If you think it's a waste of money and taxpayers' money, fine. But what did we hear? It's not coming clear from them. And secondly, is we cannot put preconditions for public hearing that who should speak. That one we should agree now with the committee. We cannot agree, Honorable Olive, that we go to the people and put preconditions. That's how they should speak, who should say. I think that's what Comrade Nyakemba was saying. You want to hear what you want to hear. That's not what we are there for. We are there to hear whether people want labor brokers or we should legislate them. Two, I appreciate that Honorable Low have recognized that in Jimiston, there were a lot of workers who work for labor brokers. That's why the situation was more volatile. And are we to be blamed as a committee for labor brokers who exploit people and they be attacked the way they were attacked? And correcting, agreeing with the Honorable Ngekembe is that you are incorrect. It was not the labor broker. It was a person from unemployment organization who was housed to the level because he recruited those people to those labor brokers. That's why he was housed. We stayed there, listened, understand the reason why people were howling. And we call everybody to order. We all stood up as committee, call those people to order till they sit. We understand their concerns. That the very same unemployment person they are howling, he's the one recruiting them to those labor brokers. So he's one of the labor brokers who's caring for other labor brokers. So if you have stayed in the meeting, understand, it is not true. We need to stress this. It is not true and it's not correct that there were no labor brokers in Genesis. They stayed irrespective of what people were saying to state their case. Even the last one who spoke, like Honorable Ngekembe is saying, was a labor broker. So what you are saying here is that we were in Peter Maritzburg. In Jimiston, they said, no, ban labor brokers, black and white. You know what was good in Jimiston? Even the white community of Jimiston was there to say, ban labor brokers. We are not saying only the black workers here. Even the whites were saying that. We went to Peter Maritzburg. Same thing. I'm just talking about where you left and you were tired to hear. That's why you believe that you would be wasting the taxpayers' money. Because when people were howling, who must tell you the pain they feel? You decided to go. It was volatile for all of us. But we stood. When we were in Peter Maritzburg, same thing happened. Majority of the people in Peter Maritzburg was labor brokers. Because the area where we were situated, it was right in town where our people cannot travel to such areas. It was only labor brokers. But majority of the people who spoke say ban labor brokers. So I think here we are misdirecting our discussion by bringing all the grievances. What we are saying is that we had majority of the people in the four provinces we went, they saying ban labor brokers. So we are saying if we are not happy, we are prepared to go to the next provinces. Let's hear. But what we cannot do is to prescribe how people should speak and who should speak. Thank you.
Honorable Solik.
Thank you very much, Chair, for recognizing me. I'm not a member of the committee, but during the public hearings on the Green Paper on National Planning Commission, the Chair allowed other members to speak. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I just want to state for the record that we do not oppose going on public hearings. We cannot make a decision on what the people that have submitted or made submissions to this committee. We can't make a ruling on what they've said or a decision on whether the decision is to ban labour broking or to regulate labour broking because the process is not concluded yet. And I haven't heard you once this evening saying that we must deliberate on that. You simply asked about the process of the public hearings and should they continue and what were our observations at those meetings. So I just think we need to progress and say this is how we want to do them in future and carry on. We're going around in circles here.
Thank you, Mr. Prodder. I think I listened to Mr. Lowe and I listened to Marlena, the last speaker, I listened to Mr. Prodder. I don't think we are really opposed. Nobody's opposed to us going. And the concern, all I can say in this concern, I think I've put my position very clear. It is the responsibility of all of us to control the crowd. Myself as the chair and you as members of parliament. And I think all of us together will do it. The next issue now that we must agree on is the provinces. Which provinces do we think we should be going to? So that when we make an application, I make an application that is informed by the discussions of the committee. Honorable Nyakemba.
Thank you, sir. It's a little bit difficult for now because we're not sure whether you will get funds or you won't get funds. But if one might read what we're trying to do, for instance, remember, Comrade Olive, that from the onset we wanted to go to all provinces. But then because of the unavailability of funds, we were forced to be limited to four. And to an extent where we have been exceeded our budget, even in those four provinces. So the bottom raising, if one would reach to what Madam Chair is saying, is to say, in an event where one could not get money for all the remaining provinces, what could be the priority? I mean, that's my guess. Madam Chair, if one would analyze the provinces which we are coming from, one starting from the national public hearing, obviously, we are all witnesses to that effect, that most workers were farm workers that year in the national one. Now, if you look at your Free States and Northwest in particular, they are dominated by mines. You look at your Gauteng. Gauteng mostly is manufacturing engineering. And KZN is textile. It's a mixture, but is textile. Now, if you look at these provinces that one has just spoken on, there's no province that, as a result of 27th April 1994, different independent states were brought together, except the Eastern Cape. You will have your former Transkei, your former Ciskei, and within that province you have part of it which were under the Republic of South Africa then. So the point I'm raising here, Chair, is that I think that province can be one that we can look at. Secondly, the Limpopo in particular, and Limpopo, if we can manage to get more funds, because also Limpopo is too rural and is in a way historically similar to the Eastern Cape. The last one, of course, one would say, we can also look at Mpumalanga. I think it's important. You need to sit with my comrade Low here, and he's listening, and I'm not saying anything about Northern Cape. It's not to say I'm saying Northern Cape is not that important, but one was just looking at the diversity of these provinces that I've just mentioned. But if we can get much money, obviously we can go to to all the provinces. Thanks very much, sir.
I want to make an additional proposal. I don't have any problem with any of that. You know, the biggest project in South Africa today that I know of, where labor brokers are involved and where large numbers of people are working for a labor broker, is that Eskom's new construction project where they're building a new power station. I don't know whether it's in Limpopo or Mpumalanga, but in Limpopo, at that power station, is the largest project. 6,000 to 8,000 people are employed mostly by labor brokers. Now, I don't want to argue about whether or not Eskom should be using labor brokers. That's a whole other debate. All I'm saying is there are 6,000 people who are working with a labor broker in that Eskom project. Can we not go to the town closest to there and invite those people? Because maybe they are being exploited too. But they are actually working now for a labor broker, and we know there's lots, so it won't be hard, difficult to find one. We can invite them by radio ad or TV ad or a newspaper advertisement to come along to our hearing. It can't be on their property. It must be in the nearest town or somewhere else. But can we not invite them? Because the big project, we know there are labor brokers. It's not a debate as to whether or not there's labor brokers. We know there are labor brokers. And we can then hear from them. There's 6,000 to 8,000 people there. That may be a place where you can find labor broking that we can investigate. As one of two or three, I agree the Eastern Cape is also a good place.
Okay. So I think one important is that the
Your contribution is in line with what has been raised. Your Eastern Cape, maybe we can look at the Eastern Cape, and then Limpopo. We'll try by all means. I'll try by all means to push, and maybe because if you go to two provinces, I doubt if they'll give up four, but they might give one or two. So I think we agree on that.
I'm just getting concerned if we are going to prescribe which sectors we're going to, because we're just arguing on semantics as to who should go. I should think we go to a town where we invite everybody, whether they come from there or not, where we can go is fine. Let's avoid what Comrade, Honorable Onis is saying. I know that it's there, but because of the point that they raised, we need to also be careful of that. That if we're going to get people from Eskom, they are all mine workers members, and what you do. They all come with mine workers T-shirt, and what we're going to say. I should think we need to be full mind of that, even if we're going to do that. Thank you. Okay. I think we must end. I think we have come to the end of the meeting. I understand because what has been said here by the first two speakers is that what we've been doing all along, we look at the areas where there's a lot of labor brokers. Of course, we'll invite, but where there's a focus, a concentration, that's where we want to stop. And then all other people will be invited to that area. So I think, members, we have made a progress for today, and I will take this matter forward with the Office of the House Chair, and I'm sure by the end of the business day tomorrow, you will be receiving SMS that says we are going or not going. And if we are going, definitely the processes will unfold from the side of the committee section. And if
possible, I think we should use this this coming recess. Because if we don't use this recess, it means we'll be then coming, we'll have to use the next term. The next year. If we want to conclude this matter by the end, before the end of financial year, or towards the end of the new financial year or beginning of the financial year, I think before we go to recess by this year, before December, we must be done with this issue so that we give all the stakeholders the time to work on this thing. So that when we come back in January, we are just working on the legislation. So I think we will target the recess. With few last words, we have come to the end of the meeting, and the meeting is closed.